art school in Bradford, and at that time, no matter what you were going to do, textile, they had a large textile department, of course, in Bradford then, no matter what you were going to do, you did draw from a model, actually, which teaching drawing is simply teaching you to look, actually. Become aware of that. Eventually, I was aware of that there.
Did you have a good teacher of drawing?
Yes, well, the way they teach drawing, or taught it then, you don't necessarily speak. What happened was, you would sit round a model, what you call a donkey, you know, and you would begin to draw, looking at the most complicated thing we see, another human being. And eventually, after half an hour or so, someone would come and sit down, look at your drawing, and then start drawing perhaps the shoulder.
But she entered the world feet first.
And you watched.
She laughed and she listened.
And then you began to see, they could see more than you saw.
The smile in her face was inhuman, and she grew up questioning the legend of her own species.
I'm listening to you, Nancy.
I am not seeing things. I know I saw what I saw. And I know it was turning into you, Jack. All right, now that body that we found.
That flower. Where did you get that?
In the vase with the other flower.
Just stuck in there?
Yeah, why?
Jeffrey gave me one of those last night.
So what?
There was a customer, Mr. Gianni. He brought one of those to the baths.
So what?
Blacker than black night in the luminiferous ether of the prairie, where the girls are cleaner because of the dust. There's a sickle moon in front of me just rising again to its sea legs, and over my head are the giants and the dwarves and Hercules counting teeth in the mouth of the dog star, and under my bare feet is the center of the flat, flat earth.
Asthmatic and highly skilled at cultivating marijuana. Ostensibly a used farm implements dealer, Atkinson had organized huge marijuana farms in Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky. His knowledge of growing techniques was much more impressive than his skill at eluding capture.
Banana fisted. That's the goal. If that's your goal, go for it. The purity of the emotion.
The creation of the morning line. The morning line runs about thus. Cliche, 6 to 5. Originality, 5 to 2.
Found Jack.
It's a pod with a flower.
I could not find that flower in any of the books I looked in.
Treachery, 4. Hope, 6. Malfunction, 6. History, 8. Medicine, 10.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the William Hung Volume 1 Mixtape. one, the ones, the two. Check it out, American Idol.
You can't sing, you can't dance, so what do you want me to say?
Radical liberals will not get exercised over the presence of hardcore pornography at the corner drugstore. But for heaven's sake, don't let him catch your son praying in the public schools.
Soaked mazes of the dark with only my thought experiments to guide me. Everything thinks, all of nature and ideas and machines. They speak or they sing, and I listen. I am who I am, and who I am not. I brood myself into thought. I brood thought into warmth, and I am alive in my own mind, experimenting with comets of insight and paradox and mummified logic.
I make up a maquette, the complete idea in a small version.
I'm too frustrated. I've got to do something. I've got to get this handle. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this happen. And when you get to that place where you say, I'm going to do whatever it takes, I'm going to take that leap of faith and I'm going to make a commitment to myself and everyone else, and I am going to do this, that's when a lot of things come together and they change. And I'll talk more about that later. But that was the moment when it really started to happen for me. And I went out and I started reading a lot of books. I went to seminars. I listened to tapes. I got to...
I could not find that flower in any of the books I looked in.
Jack, put it down.
It's a pink flower, honey.
Thinking of it in the scale I intend the sculpture to be. Then I can turn it upside down and look at it from underneath.
Here's the mystery. I don't understand. His thoughts about prosperity had absolutely nothing to do with what he was putting out. He thought he could fool the universe. I put out junk and I'll get back money. Why?
Tonight, at any rate, we've got to go through some theoretical material, so we're on a head trip. I don't know where the trip will end up. It depends on you. But in order to lay the foundation for this,
you realize you aren't looking very hard.
That sounds like rather good teaching.
Well, it is. I mean, I think you can teach people to draw quite competently, anybody, to draw like, you know, Picasso or Rembrandt or something else. But I think, in a way, what they were doing was teaching craft and not poetry. They just accepted you could teach craft, actually. which I think is perfectly straightforward. You can.
Well, you can just discover the poetry later, but yes. You need to know how to do
well,
the craft first.
You can't teach the poetry, but you can teach the craft, I think.
What did your parents think? Did they think that you weren't going to get a sensible job if you went to art college?
No, because they didn't know about things like that. I mean, actually, when I left the Royal College of Art, I said to my mother I was going to do some teaching. She said, oh, are you qualified for that then? Meaning you're qualified to be an artist. I mean, to be an artist would be a good thing, actually.
There's definitely an improvement. They were proud of you that you were an artist. They didn't think it was odd.
I think my father would have liked to have been an artist, actually, but I think he didn't quite have perhaps the drive or... I don't know, I mean, he had a family to bring up, I suppose, but...
I have what you might call a God's eye view from above.
Great to have you on the men. Talk up so they can all hear you. Go ahead.
Yes, but good evening, men, boys, mayor. All of the above. Oh.
The radical liberal will not hesitate to demand the immediate use of the 82nd Airborne to integrate the schools of a southern state. But he will buy his house as far out in the suburbs. So far, you have to take the Metroliner to get there. The radical liberal will want your child bused clear across town to meet someone's notion of proper racial balance. But his own kids will be off to Pensy Prep.
Look it. I have seen these flowers all over. They're growing like parasites on other plants. All of a sudden, where are they coming from? Outer space?
And the worms I view from below. I know what I am making.
That needs to be advocated, and that's what, you know, when people come to me, a lot of people come to psychic.
Sometimes I make 10 or 20 maquettes for every one that I use in a large scale. The others may get rejected. If a maquette keeps its interest enough for me to want to realize it as a full-size final work, then I might make a working model in an intermediate size.
They want the answer given to them. Just like in a deterministic world, you know, like there are real answers. And what I say to you is that I can give you some guidance in what I see as your
and my
soul's
germ brooding until sparks ignite in the supreme solution of thought.
Let your body do the walk.
Yes, my body has followed me here. It seems to go everywhere I do.
All of the above. So, what's your tour schedule for this new CD?
Tour schedule for the new CD, gentlemen. Can we...
In 1984, law enforcement authorities had linked him to a pot farm in Paragon, Indiana.
Carved in marble, brother, is an example of a new use of period, in which I use period to break up the line rather than the commas, which is period being a more complete stop. Carved in marble, brother. The story of how he bowed to a brother. who has whom as his. Did she bow to her brother when she saw him? Any long story of how she bowed to her brother? Sometimes not. She bowed to her brother accidentally when she saw him. Often as well as not. She did not bow to her brother when she saw him. This could happen without him. Everybody finds in it a sentence that pleases her. This is the story included in How She Bowed to Her Brother. Could another brother have a granddaughter? No, but he could have a grandson. This has nothing to do with the other brother of whom it is said that he read She Bowed to Her Brother. There could be a union between reading and learning. And now everybody reads.
Why should the universe support you if you don't support the universe? Why? Any branch that does not bear fruit will be cut off. It didn't...
The Manifestor.
Which changes will be made before going to the real full-size sculpture?
That most of the time, he'd rather see a more fun and inspiring world of technology, one where economic factors wouldn't always prevail.
Back telling Newsnight, quote, I would agree with that statement. To privatize would be a no-brainer. It would only be thought about by someone with no brain.
At all of these stages. The reclining figure gives the most freedom, compositionally and spatially. The seated figure has to have something to sit on. You can't free it from its pedestal. A reclining figure can recline on any surface. It is free and stable at the same time.
You never have hardship, say financial hardship. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
You might decide, for instance, that you'd like to live a life where you did not have financial security, and you maybe live in a fashion where you have to use your wits in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
complex enough to regulate the forces of the field energy surrounding. These waves are all around us now, like radio waves, television channels, X-rays, so on. The entire electromagnetic flux. I have no actual power myself. By using my brain patterns as a sort of focusing device, I'm able to direct electromagnetic field energy into a discrete beam. It's rather as though my brain were a lens.
I mean, what I mean to say is, I think my body has been de-souled.
Let your body do the walking.
I don't want to walk. I walk enough in my thoughts, and sometimes they walk in me. There's one thought, though, it's almost an idea. There's a voice inside of the idea that seems to endure fire. But I can only hear it. I can't see it. I don't know what it is.
She was having a good time. She was not in a nursing home, all slouched over and you know, ready to have somebody take another $2,500 out of her checking account. She was enjoying herself at 136. Then there was a semicircle of couples, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, and they were celebrating their 100th and 115th and 120th wedding anniversaries.
New plans obtained from the State Department by Newsnight and Harper's Magazine under the U.S. Freedom of Information Act called for the creation of a state-owned oil company favored by the U.S. industry. The plan was completed in January 2004, Harper's discovered, under the guidance of Amy Jaffe of the James Baker Institute in Texas. Former U.S. Secretary of State Baker is now an attorney. His law firm, Baker Botts, is representing ExxonMobil and the Saudi Arabian government.
In a moment on Radio 4, it'll be time for a new series brought to you by Michael Palin and Peter Cook. But first, are you sitting comfortably? Mr. E.L. Wistie would like to tell you a story.
Once upon a time, there was a...
Humanity, some say, doesn't know what it is. Neither ruler of ice nor fire. An animal with reason who has learned to walk. A god of desire who has learned to walk.
I can't, because I don't have one, because I lost it to the great old fathers of science.
And when we got to the base, we were going in to park the boat and get the medics out. And I gave a signal to the engine room to stop the engines and take them out of gear.
New metaphysics. Rubs up against it the way it's supposed to. Otherwise, just pass on by, Pope shitting in the woods kind of thing.
It would be a matter of wanting to explore the nuance of life in different forms,
That almost another unique aspect of the Seth material is the interesting idea that reincarnational lives aren't lived one after another in linear time as we think of it, but that it, in fact that you are a multidimensional entity who experiences these things in simultaneous time.
Just put your simulator X effect for real emulation into the channel insert there, and bear with the tube limits of current broadcast contracted and fully utilizing all grammatical non-verbal commands, and it's still not even enough. Still not nearly enough.
It fits in with my belief that sculpture should be permanent, should last for eternity.
New metaphysics.
The following year, he was caught growing marijuana with artificial light in an immense Indianapolis warehouse.
Oh, what they've done to Mother Marijuana. Even the good-natured people. Taking the top, put it on the side, blowed off half of the anterior one-third with a blowgun. Patched her up with plaster of Paris Freedom Fries and wheeled that sucker out into the range where people who weren't even trying to be whole came in and blew that fucker away with somebody else's energies that they were paying for. With the capper being, they didn't even know it. And this has all happened, even by good-natured fellow traveling people. Mother marijuana. Female plant. Nothing wrong with a nice time blow down in the low lats. Hot and dusty, perhaps, or the humid, kind of the bog, kind of a bog high, different kind of mother marijuana. But not today, not with the humans. Copoepectus today, modern man, neo-erectoid. Sold off almost the whole farm and then bought it back from himself. Living in a patch about the size of a cubic nanosecond. Thinks it's the whole thing. Just a mediocre 101 kind of matrix. No big thing. Gotta have, according to somebody's theory, I don't know if it's correct or not, you gotta have a here to go there from. That's the matrix today. Just a run-of-the-mill, imbalanced matrix. Imbalanced to the yang side, the masculine, if you will. Fucking morons. I'm blowing into a pissing stream in the breeze, my friends. And I can't even piss into it. I can't even listen to it. All I can do is barely remember that I once knew it was there.
I'm going to spend this weekend in bed.
I can't even make a cliche out of that. I can't even make a cliche no one ever even used too many times. In today's Kleenex used too many times culture. A post-Marshall, post-Andy culture. Culture that pretends as though Dada never happened. And to a degree, of course, they can be right on that. Dada being what it is and all.
St. Clair, 20 miles east of Detroit. We worked a lot of overtime for this house, Debbie Tomei said yesterday, as she played tapes of some of these calls for a reporter. We moved from Windsor because we wanted to get away from the ruckus of city life. Yes, the ruckus of Windsor city life and all of that. Initially, Salmi's interference was mostly annoying, then his harassment turned sinister. He would threaten me. It was very frightening. I'm going to get you. I know where you live.
And in 1987, a deer hunter stumbled upon thousands of his marijuana plants in an Indiana field. Claude Atkinson had cut a series of deals with the government, informing on others after each arrest and serving brief terms in prison, where he recruited employees for future ventures. Now fresh out of custody and broke, he was ready to get back into the growing business. Ernest Montgomery was an unemployed truck driver in his early 40s who wanted to make big money.
Of course, global economics, that's what it's always been. Even back in the Balkan days of nationalism, Yahoo, Humpty Dumpty land back there. Like, the only sane place in the Matrix is way beyond, as far out as you can imagine. Otherwise, you feel like your shark has been jumped and you're not even on black and white TV anymore. And all of program is like all of the early TV and radio shows, which, like 99.99% of all shows, suck and are only considered good because man is stupid. Even most of a smart man is stupid. So what about the rest? Well, it's an old story. Old new
operator from Louisville, Kentucky, and the son of an old friend, to come live at the cabin and tend the plants. After digging graves all day, Jerry Montgomery would visit the dark basement in the evenings, tending and pruning. By spring, the group had 12,500 small marijuana seedlings.
All green, all hybridized, all shitty. Matrix finally came to Mother Marijuana. Just a backhand from a back page, not even on the white paper of some moron bureaucratic functionary's to-do list. To do a broomstick up the asshole of your back brain. No, it's just a post-ad abulum kind of coming in the rear door. Doesn't even need a straw man to get in. Take care of that problem for you. So this is the Matrix. It's near the end. Now, with the ellipse, dot, 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 you can go a long motherfucking way. With the Zeno Man paradoxing around. I And as they say in the spiritual trade, you don't have to get impatient, but don't waste any time either. Hybridize that sativa with the white man's shit. Now it's like a bad can of Pabst. Some bad light, Bud Light, on the brain. Not even enough to get into some fetish fuck-up. Barely get stupid anymore. And the graham cracker crust. Crust on the old, reticulum formation.
I let them split my mind from my body.
Also, it has repose. And it suits me, if you know what I mean.
Now that is sick.
Ugh. Are you watching this?
No, thanks. I don't look anymore.
Why not, Jack?
We're not going to fly out of space, Nancy.
Why?
Books I looked in.
Jack, put it down.
It's a pink flower, honey.
It could be toxic. Look it. I have seen these flowers all over. They're growing like parasites on other plants. All of a sudden, where are they coming from? Outer space?
They're not coming from outer space.
Why not, Jack?
They're not coming from outer space, Nancy.
Why?
Like a crown resting on the earth. And what are these? What are your fists? Jewels! Jewels on the crown of the earth! Now spin! 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 Spinning crown of love!
For you at night.
What?
They come for you at night.
Who does?
They do.
I don't really remember how they made the split or why I let them do it. I could have misunderstood. I must have misunderstood them. Or they misunderstood me. Or I suppose maybe I could have just misunderstood myself.
Your past, as we think of it, say you have a past life in World War II or something, well, that person or that entity alive in that time and space is alive now. The point of experience is in the now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in effect, you can affect your past self in those terms from the point of your experience. Obviously, we experience the past, present, and future in linear time because that's where we exist. And to say that, it's all the same and, it doesn't make any difference or something kind of understates the case of our experience in physical time. If there weren't such a thing as past, present, and future as we experience it, then why bother to come here and experience it?
What are you doing?
can't help myself.
Good.
Good. This is good.
Yeah, it's a genuine game urge. Something your game character was born to do.
Here are Jim and Tammy Baker!
Press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you're depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you're dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
Much about. There's free cheese logs to every woman over 45 who goes in this week only.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad I'm in town.
Well, sweetie, don't forget the cheese log throw every Thursday, and you'll get a free sparring partner if you come unaccompanied.
I don't believe in throwing fights. I fight fair.
You do? Ever?
How many years of time is possible? Well, how do you do it? You work a relationship. What does that mean?
You organize the workplace for the workers in such a way that they are disposed to turn profitable.
Or will. You have to simultaneously create the conditions such that they'll work their asses off, right? And they will keep on doing that. Or unless you can easily replace them, in which case that's okay too, right? But you have to disempower them, right? You want to create circumstances which continually reproduce a workforce that is amenable to you, that is a compliant, order-following workforce, or at least one that's willing to do that. And you certainly don't want to create conditions in which they have a false, you know, overly excessive expectation, right?
I have a feeling he liked making marks, looking at things. He took up photography. The first painting I ever sold was a portrait of him, and he thought it was because of him, meaning I could get you another canvas now, you'll pay me again. Whereas I thought, well, it might be my skills in painting or something. I mean, it was like that. But
you then got to the Royal College of Art in London, and your draftsmanship, your drawing from life classes continued. But did they regard you as peculiar?
Then?
Yes.
Not really. When I was first there, drawing was a compulsory part, but at the end of the first year it stopped, actually. Then it stopped.
But you kept on?
Well, I kept on. I mean, I've always drawn. I mean, if you draw, you like drawing. It's an activity you do all the time, actually.
Did you ever try the abstract at college?
Yes, I did. I mean, I painted in a kind of abstract expressionist way, because, of course, that was exciting. You have to remember, I do remember, I was still an art student in Bradford when we saw Jackson Pollock exhibition in Whitechapel, I think it was 56 or something like that. And I was aware what was interesting there to many people was it was the first exciting painting that didn't seem to come from Picasso, which therefore was quite big. Remember, before that, everything was traceable to Picasso as a dominant thing. Henry Moore was traceable to Picasso. Francis Bacon is traceable to Picasso. Suddenly, Pollock, appeared not to be. Actually was, in a way. I mean, even that. But and so you were excited by that, realizing this dominant influence had to be somehow perhaps broken, but it still has to be dealt with, of course, now. I see that.
But yes, but at the time, huge as it was, it didn't make you think, my God, I have somehow got to work out painting in a Pollock-like way.
No, but one was excited by it. I was. I mean, I could see the physical nature of it, the marks and so on. It was exciting. On the other hand, what do you do with it? Nobody actually did anything with it, actually. It's not.
Well, you know, Bridget Riley also saw that exhibition.
Yes, I'm
and
sure.
What struck her about it, it moved her hugely. And what really moved her was that she thought it was a heroic achievement, but also a dead end.
Yes.
This is it, you see. This is the cage of your own making, which keeps you trapped and pacing about in the smallest possible space forever.
Lady, how can that be which each discerns as slowly passing years the truth make known that longer lives the image carved in stone than he, the maker, who to dust returns? To the effect that yields surpass the cause and art of man doth nature's self subdue. I know who in fair sculpture prove it true which still of time and death defies the laws. Thus I to both us twain long life can give in paint or marble as my wish may be, the semblance of thy face and mine to show. A thousand years hence, after we have lived, how fair thou wert, and I how sad they'll see, and that I was no fool to love thee so.
Glennon is misunderstood.
Start the bidding at misunderstood. What do I hear? Garbled up front, perverted at the back wall, distorted the lady in red, unvalued the lady in yellow, unwept in the red, unwept, unwept. Text.
Cage of your own making, which keeps you trapped and pacing about in the smallest possible space forever. Break out of your cage, Michael. Break out now.
About the camera, and actually this probably was in the middle of a conversation in which you were saying, Alan, take me home. I wasn't in any position to take anybody home, trying to keep up a good face.
Then the third picture that I remember is a gentleman who is picking tea leaves up at the timberline in the Caucasus Mountains in Armenia. And he was listening to one of these little transistor radios back then. And according to his birth records and baptismal records, his military records, and the birth records of his children, the National Geographic said that he was 167 years of age, the oldest living person at that time.
So it's amidst this setting, this mixture of manure and chemicalized emulation of dirt, but the freaking thing's got to grow in. Look, we'll wash the windows off. We can flush out the systems, empty out all the tubes. It's a little osteomorphosis, no problem. A little octagonal trans shift. Three-quarter slide translates down to 90 degrees with one dimension subtracted. Kind of like octaves of 12 tones. 3D spatial array. If you're at home mapping, don't let me interfere now.
Amy Glennon is unwept.
Is that how you wanted to read? Elaborate, please. Tears in your aisle, salt water the lady in red, substance the gentleman by the post, matter the lady in red. Further bid?
New metaphysics. Grabbing at itself, scratching those hardened places, scabs. No scab crosses this line, my friend. We're protecting some of mommy's old drunken rationalities back in the 1890s now. Don't tear through those 12 layers of fabric around the pelvis. You might have to run ye in to the station. Have a family member come and escort you home. Unless you're a real person and live in the dirt like a pig. Have disease all over you, a life expectancy of 24 or so in the West. And if you live in the middle area there, well, who just even cares anyway? I don't even think you guys reincarnate over there, do you? A little elitism leakage over here. Hard to keep anything pure today, unless it's purely not. Gary Geiserman, walking around and around it, trying to make some cream. I don't know I'm trying to do that. Cream is for calves, I believe. I guess my mind just wanders talking about things like cholesterol, hybridized mother marijuana. The International Hemp Collusion continues. So finely hewn, it might as well not even have to ever be denied by an official at a podium. No demonstrations that make CNN. No broomsticks have to be hammered down someone's ass to fight that baby off. And then, of course, there is not one person on the soapbox talking about the symphony, the synesthetic joy and integrated fabric of all the fabricated things wrong today. Just one at a time. One at a time. And only a few ever. Somebody's getting humored. First man to break out laughing.
And still wanted to make union that involves management. Okay, enough for capitalists. Workers want to, obviously, reduce their work time, increase their income. They don't care about profits, but they want more income, which would reduce the profits of capital. They want to have better work conditions. The capitalists care about work conditions.
Only so far as it doesn't hinder their ability for workers to work.
Or increases the possibility that workers will work harder. Exactly so.
Also, very, very simple. Motherfucking matrix. Gotta learn to roll with the matrix and not think you hate it. I don't want to do that. Or just do it and move over, be on record as such, and get on over. If you brought some Moroccan over here to smoke some New England green, he would probably throw up in your face and then cut you. Like the baddest nigga you ever thought might do that to you. At least I would hope he might do what you imagined he would, wouldn't, and would do to you. You user of mediocrity, you fucking moron. Title of today's show. It's a program. It's on the multi-expanded networks. Bathed in anonymity, not even RSS'd, and probably never be mentioned, co-mentioned, or collateralized in a lawsuit. Or big capital P program. Program notes. Words on paper made from trees. It's kind of like taking milk, hardening it, and then shoving up your ass with a broomstick at the back of a police station somewhere in the Bronx.
Text.
Amy Glennon is matter.
Or should it read text?
The human figure is both the most exciting subject one can set oneself and the subject one knows best.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
And remember, God loves you. He really does.
important. I believe the eyes of the soul. I truly do. And I think you can look in someone's eyes and really tell what kind of a person and what their heart is. And so when my precious friends die, I always ask if I could please have their glasses. When my mom died, I got my mama's glasses, and they're very, very precious to me. I like to put them on sometime and think, you know, mama looked through these.
I think this photograph would probably be at the heart of Kaddish. And Louis reestablishing himself in Patterson, grimy apartment in Negro District, living in dark rooms, but found himself a girl he later married, falling in love again. So sere and shy, hurt with 20 years Naomi's mad idealism. Once I came home, after a long time in New York with friends, he's lonely, sitting in the bedroom, he had a desk chair, turned around to face me, wept, tears in red eyes under his eyeglasses, that we had left him. Jean gone strangely into the army, Naomi out on her own in New York, almost childish in her furnished room. So Louis walked downtown to post office to get mail, taught at high school, stayed at poetry desk, forlorn, ate grief at Bickford's. All those years.
It seems that you've been living two lives.
The construction of the human figure, the tremendous variety of balance, of size, of rhythm, all those things make the human being much more difficult to get right than anything else.
A space flower?
Well, why not a space flower? Why do we always expect metal ships?
I've never expected metal ships.
Look, there's bound to be other ways they can get into our systems.
That's right. They could be getting into us through touch or through their fragrance.
We would never even notice it. Not from the impurities that we have. I mean, we eat junk and we breathe junk.
Look, I don't know where they're coming from, but I know I feel as though I've been poisoned today. We've got to take those flowers in and have them analyzed. This is the only thing we know. There's something here.
Matter is Amy Glennon.
Which one is it? In advance. Why will it be is standing at the back? Why will it be in advance? Yes? How could it? The man on the right when does it against the wall. What is there on the left? In advance? What is there? Any more?
Some people say that they can't understand why the faces sometimes don't seem complete to them and your figures.
Well, because I want to understand the body, the whole body and the movement and so on. Whereas a face is often only an expression in meaning to people.
The thing I remember most about this house, I believe, is the wind. We used to go up on top of the roof of the garage and listen to the wind blowing through the palm trees at night, and the moon would be out, and it would be so beautiful here in the desert. This is the house where our whole lives came tumbling down on us. I was still very weak and very sick when I finished the Betty Ford program. And Jim was really burned out and having to raise $1 million a week to keep PTL on the air and to keep all the bills paid.
It was beginning to crush me. At the end of the day, I would literally have to think to walk. I don't know if you can understand it, but I'd have to, I was so exhausted, I'd have to, you know, usually your body will just walk by itself, but I'm having to pick up my feet on purpose to walk.
In one life, you're Thomas A. Anderson, program writer for a respectable software company. You have a social security number, you pay your taxes, and you help your landlady carry out her garbage. The other life is lived in computers, where you go by the hacker alias Neo and are guilty of virtually every computer crime we have a law for.
Yes, I am.
The sculpture which moves me most is full-blooded and self-supporting, fully in the round. It has a life of its own, independent of the object it represents. Sculpture, for me, must have life in it, vitality. It should always give the impression, whether carved or modeled, of having grown organically, created by pressure from within. I've tried in this figure to use drapery from what I think is a sculptural point of view. Drapery played a very important part in the shelter drawings I made in 1940 and 41. Drapery can emphasize the tension in a figure. Also in my mind was to connect the contrast of the sizes of folds, here small, fine and delicate in other places, big and heavy, with the form of mountains, which are the crinkled skin of the earth.
Good fairy.
And
a little fragile dead body of a good fairy also, and an old tooth.
It was too heavy for her to lift it because it had fillings in it.
And she died. It crushed her breast. Stop the presses, AL, but it was no good.
Right. In the old days, they could get away with those tooths because if they were rotten, they were like empty. And a little fairy could zip off it goes and drop a coin.
Thing. How about I give you the finger and you give me my phone call?
He can push the tempest by.
This is the only thing we know. There's something here. Now they could start getting into our systems and screwing up our genes like DNA.
Sleeper in room 172409.
Okay, zooming out of 06-12-21 and zooming in to 172409er.
Good. Here we go. Hot patching gear works and flipping to REM reader mode.
Locating subject. Subject located. Zooming in.
We're on the clock. Are we locked?
Locked on.
Thank you. Arm extension. Go.
Calibrating.
Steady.
I got it.
Light her up.
All right, first sentence. Text.
What is the matter in Amy Glennon?
Very good, then. Let's explode the word matter. Matter as in dynamic geometry, the gentleman in front, as in quantum wave, the lady in front, as in external world, the gentleman, internal soul, the lady, gold, the gentleman, silver, the lady, lead, the gentleman, arsenic, the lady, bitterness, the gentleman, matter as in bitterness, yes, down goes bitterness. Text.
The matter in Amy Glennon is bitterness.
Interscan is locked. Commencing REM read. Okay. Now let's cycle back. And there you have it. Oh, you do this long enough, you could do it in your sleep.
Why doesn't it mean anything? Well, because that's what it is.
So much drama today, I almost forgot how many slugs I had in the chamber. Now you tell me if I'm not a detective in a film noir film. Filmed in celluloid, captured in my time machine, recalled on the memory jukebox whenever I feel like, even times when I go into a semi-stuttered OCD and unfeel felt like and replay play like. So you tell me You motherfuck. If I'm mad at a film noir film, detective film. With a happy ending, of course. It's my film. You tell me I don't have any slugs in the chamber. Do ya?
Nothing. Yeah, but you're not explaining shit, are you? Well, here's what we're going to do on the end. We're going to talk about our days, about going to, you know, our high school classes, and how we barfed last night, and how much we like titties. We love titties. And then we'll show the occasional death pic, because death is cool. It's funny, isn't it? You know, especially dead babies. Dead babies are awesome. You know, I haven't lived a day until I've seen a dead baby.
Had it. Working in flickers, as they were still being called, was out of the question. Everyone knew that the only people who'd lower themselves to step in front of a camera were stage actors who couldn't get work or couldn't stay sober enough to keep it if they got it.
That's the way I wake up. God, you know, I can get up in the morning and look at a few dead babies, and that makes my day just peachy. I can go to work now.
What good is a phone call if you're unable to speak? You remember something before all of this?
Not much.
Spent her life staring at other people in their private cages of bone, and has therefore neglected her own flesh. Behind Amy Glennon is the sign of the sickle moon. Before her is the ticket window, aglow under mercury vapor street lamps.
Later on, he says, movies. Only people so poor they couldn't afford a vaudeville ticket go to the Nickelodeon. Vaudeville ticket, go to the Nickelodeon. Lower themselves to step in front of a camera.
Now that is sick.
Ugh, are you watching this?
No thanks.
Messages are all positive and compatible with your own goals and ethics.
But in another respect, past, present, future would all exist in the now.
Through pushing buttons.
Loneliness clings to me like a second skin, threatening to smother me from within. Why get ready for the day? What does it matter to myself, I say? My body aches all night, all day, and I'm too tired to even pray. Mundane household chores I do, vacuum floors and pick up poo. I try not to think of days gone by. To do so only makes me cry. Why me, God, I say, why? It's a little dramatic, I guess, but it's how I felt at the time. I've often thought I should probably be on Broadway with my drama.
There is the prisoner. Do you have anything to say in your defense?
Unable to speak.
Oswald has been shot. A shot rang out. Mass confusion here. All the doors have been locked. He messed up. A shot rang out as he was led into his car. A shot has a mass confusion there. Rolling in the... fighting. As he was being let out, now he's being led back. He was thrown to the ground. You know, the police have the entire area blocked off. Everybody stay back. There's a yell. Did you see it?
Bad news was, with the rental of the editing room and all the money I owed, interest was piling up. Time was of the essence. I couldn't make a dime on the movie until I sold it. And I couldn't sell it until I finished it. My ass was dragging.
In one hand, she carries a suitcase. In the other, a small harpoon.
She had a little wart on one finger. She asked God. And the message that she got was, put that finger in the communion cup before you drink. And she brought it out, partook of the bread and the juice, and the wart was gone.
We had been raised in the Assemblies of God. And we always sort of felt the Assemblies of God preached that God was looking down at you from heaven with a big, huge hammer in his hand, and that if you did anything wrong, he was going to hit you over the head with his hammer and send you straight to hell.
She was almost scared into staying close to God.
See all this stuff? Look at all this stuff. Coming up. That's my blush. It's almost gone. I got to go to the swap meet and get some more. I buy it at the swap meet. My powder that kind of, when I cry, it takes away the tears. This is my eyebrow stuff, although I don't really need to put on eyebrow stuff because my eyebrows are permanent. This turns pink when you put it on. See, it's white to start with. Eyelash glue. Well, here's, I don't know what that is. And here's my mascara that I'm so famous for. As you see, it is L'Oreal Waterproof Lash Out Makeup. And as you can see, it's much used, much loved. They are put on singly. and with lots of mascara. They don't come off. I mean, they have to literally kind of wear off. And so once in a while, one will drop off, and when it does, I put another one in. Without my eyelashes, I wouldn't be Tammy Faye. I don't know who I'd be, but I wouldn't be me.
Actors who couldn't get work or couldn't stay sober enough to keep it if they got it.
Just like that.
Later on, he says, movies. Only people so poor they couldn't afford a vaudeville ticket go to the Nickelodeon.
I seem to be going somewhere. I've got this harpoon and a suitcase. And let's see. I've got my gyroscope, my ID tubes, my Geiger counter, my pocket gramophone, and my compass. And yes, my jar of lizards. I can't forget my jar of lizards, my favorite creatures, because they grow new parts of themselves, and they shed their tails into my legs and their skins into my feet that are walking. I'm moving into the idea through its compacted layers of solid ice beneath its sheer, crushed masses of rock toward its molten interior. This idea never sleeps. It dreams but doesn't sleep, and I can hear it talk. I can't see anything.
Her music, I want us all to get up and our thick feathers and dance away all over the room wherever the music takes.
I was supposed to have a lead in this motherfucking movie, but I had two fucking lines.
She was born after the moon had risen twice, and before the sun had risen once. The arch-heretic magician appeared, twirling his subjacent consciousness like a prayer wheel. The black star sapphire eyes threw a shadow across her own face, but she entered the world feet first. She listened and she slept.
Honest, I didn't feel safe.
It was embarrassing. Distributors are tripping over themselves to get out of the theater. What can I say? Listen, we like Mel.
Oh, well, we both do. That's not the point. It's just
the
movie wasn't entertaining.
No.
Who wants to see something?
First thing
like that
is, when you make a movie, you have to know who your audience is, and that's a lesson Mel completely forgot.
Finding us, changing us. Of course, this is just the same way those rocket ships landed thousands of years ago, so those spacemen could mate with monkeys and apes and create the human race.
Thank you.
thing
is when you make a movie, you have to know who your audience is, and that's a lesson Mel completely forgot. Yeah. Completely out of his head.
Yeah.
Very sad.
There's a guy from Stax Records. He says the album's ready, just wants to know when the movie's coming out.
Well, tell him to get me some vinyl, and I'll let him know when we know. Okay?
Hey, bro. Hi. Distributors thing.
I don't know, man. They split halfway through. One guy left his card.
I don't even know them. Cinemation. Wait. What about the guy from Spotlight? Did he come?
Yeah, he says once you get it rated, if it gets nothing harder than an R, then he'll screen it.
Well, we're going to have to run. So I just want to congratulate you and tell you a lot of hard work up there. Good.
Who do you believe this bullshit artist?
Oh.
Come on. Come on. What do you really think?
Honestly? No, it's a dangerous film, can I say.
But it's not dangerous when John Wayne is, is it?
See, most of America looks like John Wayne, so I'm just a little nervous.
Happening now.
Some say whatever has been hidden and is then exposed, this is a human act. Some say to have memories inside of love, but neither before nor after life.
Why were movies so looked down on then?
Look, don't answer it. Just the phone spam, please.
Basically anything goes.
Telling me I'm falling down on the job. I keep saying it's a conceptual misconception. It's really a conceptual conception because it's like global economics. It had to happen. It had to go through the eye of that fucking pin. Through the pinheads. Just an extrapolation, my friends. Let the accountants do the math. Keep your eyes on the screen. Just forget that you're stupid for a while. Forget that you're trying to be stupid for a while, and forget to get stupid for a while. Use a little stupidity. Keep your head clean. Just for a little while.
Culture is a mixture.
It's just a four-letter word. Pay it no mind. They're all commercials now, anyway. They're all just ads. Buzzing like a schizophrenic buzz attack around the contours of your mind. Just think, there's not one person on earth who couldn't go mentally in freaking sane. Figure out a way and have it home delivered.
Hey, what's the matter, Jim?
Oh, I think it's my weight problem, Fred. I just can't seem to drop any, and I feel run down all the time.
I know. I used to be as obese as you. I weighed 365 pounds.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. But then I got some over-the-counter Menadrine by WhimCo, and I dropped 200 pounds in 6 days.
No, you got to be kidding.
When I kid a fat guy like you, pick some up.
I think I will.
It's a fact. Some people have tried almost everything to lose weight and still can't. Why? Because they haven't tried WhimCo's over-the-counter Menadrine. Menadrine has special hunger depressants that really work. Try them tonight and drop a few pounds of flab by the break of day.
Say, Jim, looks like you followed my suggestion.
Oh, you bet. Menadrine really works. I mean, I feel great.
Hey, where are you headed?
Well, as soon as I get done painting the house, I thought I might write the Great American Novel and then trim the lawn with baking shears. Bye. Oops, silly me. Almost forgot the baking shears. Bye. And the typewriter. See you later.
Menadrine by WhimCo. Available at your favorite center counter.
Thank you.
Basically, anything goes.
People aren't going to be able to identify with them. That's what I'm worried about.
I don't know. I always identified with the Indians.
You know what? I don't know anything, so leave me out of it, all right? When's it rated?
When and if I submit it.
Okay, Melvin, no. You, the whole porn thing that worked with the unions, with the ratings board, they're just going to want to cut out a few tits. They're going to want to get rid of a few swear words. Just get your R and go.
It's an all-white jury.
Listen to me. This board has been doing this since the year zero. Somebody has to tell parents what kids can see, what they can't see.
So all-white jury has the right to tell the black community what it may or may not see. Now, the rest of you want to submit to that program, that's your business.
Honestly, aren't you doing this for the press?
Who's press? I'm not doing it for the white media's consumption or yours either. I'm telling the truth, brother. You take it however you want to take it.
Melvin, you just bought yourself an axe.
Ever sat on an antique cheese log? I can't even say it without making a Freudian slip. Antique cheese log chair.
I'm not in town for fun. I'm in town because Mr. Foster died and we're freezing him.
He's going to be Mr. Foster Freeze then, right?
And so you were on a win mode already. So when you show up at your relationship later, you're not starved for love. The fact that you showed up in the world gave you love because you gave the world love. And then you show up at your relationship much more ready for it.
Well, it is. That's correct, I think, actually. That's the way I would say it. It was a heroic achievement, yeah. But it is a dead end.
Now, you left the Royal College 1962. In 1964, you went on your first trip to Los Angeles, and one of the reasons you gave was you thought the light was marvelous, and you said you realized there were no long shadows in Bradford. This is a wonderful phrase. But so was it the light that really took you?
Well, in Bradford, I could say I was brought up in Bradford and Hollywood. Hollywood was at the end of the street in a cinema. And I must tell you, I did notice, my father was a great fan of Laurel and Hardy, well, so was I, actually. But I did notice in the films that even if they were wearing an overcoat, they cast strong shadows on the ground. Well, you didn't do that in Bradford. There were no strong shadows on the ground.
There was no sun, was there?
That means he was very, very sunny. And I noticed that even in the black and white film.
This line is tapped, so I must be brief. They got to you first, but they've underestimated how important you are.
Because they didn't really exist yet, and it's a really interesting thing, because...
Pretty soon, it's just going to be a matter of... bodies swarming through the mud in a whole black Calcutta style, or a question of whose mic is still or not left on. Bit of a dichotomy there. It's a poor man's kind of falsetto stereo. But that is the story of the Matrix today. The young Midas touch for almost everybody. You got a spin. Whose mic is on?
You got a spin. Let me give you one piece of advice. Be honest.
It's the truly human realm. And some say there is no such thing as humanity. That humanity is something men have stolen from animals.
In Hollywood at the time, apartment houses would literally have signs out front that said, no dogs, no colored, no actors.
that's worthwhile has been done by men, by women who said, I don't care what the cost is, I'm going to do this for the glory of God.
Oh, yeah, we practically started the Electric Church.
God loves you. He loves you.
Because the kind of people who became actors were essentially...
God loves you. He really does. God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
When's the last time you remember being outside?
Last night. I had a dream of being at the beach.
No, I mean really outside, not a dream.
I don't remember.
Plants and weather from the universe and the atoms.
The universe and atoms? The universe and atoms. The universe and the atoms. Of course, yes, I remember now. I used to live in quantum. I did have a body that was intimately joined to the constancy of the speed of light. And when I was 3 years old, I used to play with atoms and the void.
Particles and waves, particles and waves, particles and waves.
Yes, and then I experimented with particles and waves. And when I was 6 years old, I dug up some large numbers made of ice. There were just a handful of memories preserved in the ice.
Sort of, bartenders, wrestlers, dope fiends.
That's the criterion which is true. It doesn't matter, by the way, if a capitalist is a good guy. It doesn't matter if the wobbly becomes a capitalist. If the wobbly becomes a capitalist, he's going to behave like a capitalist. If I become a capitalist, I'm going to behave like a capitalist. Why?
Growth needs, okay, but I'm not going to give you the answers so much. I'm going to give you ways of formulating the question yourself.
Oh, that is fast.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest.
That is not my typical impression of a psychic or an astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
Or my experience with people who have
kind of peripheral riffraff who couldn't make it in what was considered legitimate stage work. So it was really embarrassing for Fatty. In fact, he was engaged. I'm going to call him Roscoe because he preferred to be called Roscoe. But he was engaged to be married, and he didn't want his future wife's parents to know that he was an actor. Better he was a hobo or a pickpocket or something vaguely more respectable.
When was the last time you remember being outside?
Last night. I had a dream of being at the beach.
No, I mean really outside, not a dream.
I don't remember. I've been busy lately. Overloaded, actually. Picking up slack for you, I might add.
I don't remember either.
Most of
effective for each level?
Yes, that's one of the tasks of a full spectrum model. My basic point about these left-hand or interpretive therapies is that once we strip them of their exclusiveness or their single-level partialness, then they all have something very important to teach us. They all have something to tell us about the various layers of the self, of consciousness, and about the truthful interpretations that can help us access these various dimensions. Because the amazing fact is that truth alone will not set you free. Truthfulness will set you free.
Got up, went out, came in, went to bed. Didn't even go to the lavatory.
It's a very nice morning this morning, Mr. Cook, if you know what I mean. The fish is particularly good today, Mr. Cook, if you get my gist. It was sort of nudge-nudge, wink-wink time before Kaisel immortalised it. Well, it's basically me. It's basically part of me, a sort of manic-depressive part of me.
But in order to do it, you have to give up one idea, namely that the other party is born evil, will continue, remain evil, and that the only remedy is to crush and exterminate. Unfortunately, these four aspects hang together, so I think what the world is demanding is, in one sense, a tall bill. In another sense, not that terribly difficult.
I go to therapy today, so this is it for this week. This is my dream diary from last night. Listen up. I'm in a club filled with throbbing music and flashing lights, and it's filled with addictive substances. No people, just the sweet, sweet junk, baby. They all want a piece of me. There's cocaine, gorgeous, irritating, never shuts up, and caffeine. Hi, darling, see you in the morning. And laughter, so beautiful, elusive, though, leads at the damnedest times. And cigarettes, very cool but deadly. The yellow teeth are a major turnoff. Hey, there's my old pal, alcohol. He's propped up against the bar. Hey, Mark, come here. Let me buy you one. Come on. Don't be such a wuss. I love you, man. He pees himself. Typical. And there's sex. There's sex. Not as strong as she used to be, but relentless, especially in these summer months. You know what I mean? Keep walking, Mark. Keep walking. Then over against the wall are two I don't recognize right away. A classy-looking woman in pearls, but hot. She comes up to me and says, hi, I'm Tax Cuts. Once you've had me, you're going to want me every year. You know, and I got to admit, I am thinking about it. I say, what about the deficit? She pushes up close. She smells like a new Lexus.
Ooh.
Who cares? You deserve me. Let your kids deal with the deficit. I push her away, but I'm already regretting it. Next to her is an enormous guy covered with tattoos wearing a leather hood. Good move, chief, he says. You can't have her and pay for me. Who are you? I'm war. I'm the most expensive one in the room. But you've never had a rush like me. I say, no offense, buddy, but war is disgusting and makes me want to puke. Hey, don't knock it till you try it, chief. I look at his feet, wearing dog leashes, our Bush and Cheney down on all fours, licking his boots. War looks down at them and says, shock and awe, baby. Shock and awe. I woke up and my bed was filled with shredded beef.
Ooh,
what is that about, man? I can't wait to bring that to my therapist today, who I owe.
I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole.
Thank you.
Hollywood party in San Francisco, which is where a lot of the actors at the time would go, because remember, this was during Prohibition, and they thought that the liquor was better up in San Francisco.
Large, cold numbers. Oh, number beauty and rapture. Number calisthenics. The exercise of number beauty had me aligned to the great old fathers of science themselves.
Easy to get hold of. So he's in room 1221 of the swanky St. Francis Hotel. And to just give you the Cliff Notes version, there was an actress named Virginia Rappe, who stumbled into his rooms during the party, and he already knew she had a reputation as being a rather nasty drunk, and had in fact given half the Keystone Cops gonorrhea and the other half lice. But what happened is she started taking her clothes off, going into a fit, screaming, so not knowing what else to do, he put her down in the adjacent room where he was staying, and came back later to take a bath, and she was screaming and in fever and just in a horrific state. So not knowing what else to do, he decided that he took Buster Keaton's advice, who had once told him that when a woman is going crazy, what she really needs is something cold placed on her female area. So Fatty, you have to picture, is standing there in a towel, leaning over this woman, pressing a cold champagne bottle to her private area, as I like to call it, and it looked real bad. And a woman named Maud Delmont, who was a known blackmailer, came in, caught him in the act, and the next thing you know, Hearst is making a huge story out of it. The DA, who wants to run for governor, is using it as an excuse to get rid of these moral pariahs from Hollywood polluting San Francisco. And the right-wing Christian fundamentalists, who, of course, basically hated Jews for corrupting America's youth by running Hollywood, were using it as an excuse to shut down the entire industry.
I lifted the edges of their cloaks, I turned their pockets out, and there they were, as real as algebra.
That's hemorrhaging cash. Every day bleeding more. Calls for money were constant. Even death threats now. I devised a signal for the inner circle. Ring twice, hang up, and call back.
We had a couple of calls, Mr. Pitcher. Nothing much, but I thought I'd tell you about it anyway.
One of them's, they'll distribute Sweetback worldwide, but they want their fee up front, and they want
70% into perpetuity, so...
You're losing bread.
I know, it's ridiculous. I don't think about it. It's,
listen, it only gets worse. The other one, it's a lowball buyer. I'm not even going to insult you with it.
You ever hear of Cinemation?
Cinemation, yeah. Yeah, they're a very low-level distributor, doing mostly schlock. They're even still in business. Kid, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Stuck on them I was, in a swoon, schoolgirl crush.
Who regularly feel the need to know their future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were... So how often... Well, my question is, when someone initially consults with you, why do they normally show up at your door or give you a call?
That's the key question. Okay. Well, let me back up and say that there are, you know... There are two types of readers, and perhaps there are basically two types of clients as well. There are one type of reader, which is maybe more predominant, but not necessarily as much as one might think, is the reader that thinks that they have a particular
take on things and wants to program the client and wants to say, yes, I will tell you what to do. Because that's also a lot more cut and dry. It's like, okay, you know, I've known some readers that say, okay, here's a list of 10 things to do. And the first one is go break up with your boyfriend immediately, mm-hmm. you know, and then blah, 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 do this, this, and this, and then report back to me, and then I'll give you another list of things to do. There's another type of reader, which is like myself and Esther, and what we do is, well, what I was talking about earlier, we can point out what the path is about and see, instead of telling you, go ahead and break up with your boyfriend, you know, you just go like, okay, here's what the whole thing is about between...
See it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up.
Distant future.
FireSignTheater.com. Mm-hmm. 1-800-ROCK-TALK is our number. Let's go to Chicago. It's Nino on line two. You're on with Firesign Theater.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Nino.
You know, one of the things...
Nino, is that you?
...impressed me over the years that...
What do you know?
Nino, you got to talk a little closer and louder if you can, man. Go ahead.
Okay.
Speak up. Go ahead.
I was just saying, the material is so well produced. There's so many layers of sounds that...
you and your boyfriend, and this is what, and so then you can make this decision based on where this is going to go. Okay, so that's the type of reader we are. Okay, so there are some others, but there, you know, there's the.
So I got to be honest here. What we got is an X-rated black film with no stars, no Sidney Poitier, no Diane Carroll. In this film, a black hustler beats up two white cops, screws a white chick, and gets away with it.
Black folks are gonna fucking love it, Jerry. They're gonna love it.
Black folks don't own theaters in America. Old white guys do.
Like when you're listening to the digging of Elmertown, you hear these animal sounds kind of real low underneath the characters. And I was wondering if you guys have ever been in a situation where you decided not to do a piece of material because the sound effects were too complicated or too hard.
Stop killing, withdraw your bases, have equitable economic deals, join the world for all its multilateralism and slowliness, and enter into dialogue with a fascinating variety of civilizations.
I befriended him because the police asked me to, and he calmed down and said he wasn't going to hurt me. The more I felt I was kissing his butt, the safer I felt. But never entirely safe. Debbie Tomei says, Sami has made clear he listens to family talks through household telephones, even with the receivers hung up. Boy, this guy is like a god or something, isn't he?
Wow.
When I want to have a private conversation, I unplug the phone, but we still whisper, she said. That'd be fun to go up there and watch these people try to live out their lives. I mean, boy, when paranoia overtakes you, it can be quite a sight to witness. Police say Sami lives in the area and is under 25. He bragged to them that police came and went from his house and door-to-door suite. Some private experts have tried to uncover Sami, including Doug Ralph, a retired electronic surveillance expert for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. He concluded Sami was accessing the Tomei's house through either underground cables or the nearby Bell Canada wiring station. He seems to know an awful lot about the phones, Debbie Tomei said. I asked if he had something against Bell Canada. He said, not really. Bell Canada has rewired the house several times. Each time... Sami was able to get back on the line once within 20 minutes. He knows exactly what he's doing.
I'm Watermelon Man. We had a nice opening. Sweet bet. It's got to open big. You with me? Bam!
How many theaters can you get me?
Two, if we're lucky.
And he was innocent, and he couldn't have sex. He was impotent pretty much his whole life.
They said we never lose our need for more numbers. Numbers are the new articles of faith. They said, let us bless you. Let us delight you with our numbers. Let us turn your body into an equation.
Just two in L.A.
Two in the U.S. of A., my friend.
old messages.
Hello, yeah, this is calling from the Chinese food restaurant. I'm here right now, so would you call me back at 404-433? Thank you, bye-bye.
Tuesday, 12:09 a.m.
Shit, holy.
Tuesday, 12:19 a.m.
Hello, this is the Chinese food restaurant. I don't know where are you, so I'm in the... come on. I'm leaving now, so I can't wait. I don't know where are you. You're where you find me. Okay, bye-bye.
Tuesday, 12:22 a.m.
Hello, you're the fucking asshole. I tell you what. Okay, never order from us. You're wasting my time. You asshole, fuck you.
Tuesday, 12:24 a.m.
Hello, this is Chinese food again. I tell you what, you are the college student. I never see a stupid asshole. You're a stupid jerk. Fuck you.
Tuesday, 12:26 a.m. End of messages.
The second's in Atlanta, the first in Detroit, the Grand Circus. It's run by the Goldberg twins. Believe me, I begged. I want to get us in as many theaters as possible. My money is where your money is.
Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean.
So love, genuine love, helps you show up at work, but real work helps you show up in love. And the only thing God is caring about, the only work in God's eyes, is the work on you and me. This is a joke that there's any work besides the work on people.
And even if they run it, they're going to play it safe. They're going to sandwich it between two other flicks.
Only two theaters in all of America. And it won't even run alone, not even first run.
They don't run X-rated films, Melvin. You know you can't even print the title. Sweet Sweetback's badass song? You can't put it in the newspapers. You can't even put it up on the marquee.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Welcome back. I'm going to do something with my voice, with the hum and whistle. Listen closely to what I do, and as I do, I want you to build in an imagined feedback loop, almost to the point where you can almost feel what your mouth and throat would be doing to create the sounds you hear me make through the tape. I'm going to whistle and hum, and I'm going to keep the tone of the hum stable and increase the tone of the whistle. Then I'll bring the tone of the whistle back down again. Ready? Listen closely. Now, you try. Okay, once again, keep the tone of the hum stable and increase and then decrease the tone of the whistle.
Look, I don't know what the fuck's going on. It's like all caving in around me here. Well, I said that. Doesn't mean I'm actually referring to that. There's so much license today. In such a jack-off world. Pressing down on itself. Loving only itself. Seeming to exist by itself. Yet here I am with a river of consciousness, touching milk and honey on one end and infinite tactile, infinite insideness spread out all over itself with various halls of mirrors. Halls of mirrors concepts. Tools. Tools of the mind paired with the emotions always. Paired off. Paired off quadrophenia. A whole number system potential. And I got this thing coming down on itself. Like something that jacked off and now it's like running out. It's running out all over the freaking place. It's almost all run out now. Of course, there's pain as well. Keep an eye out for that. You reach too hard, try too hard, and you can't quite get enough of what you're reaching and trying out for. You could have some pain. Be aware of that.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life.
New metaphysics with a lump in its throat. It's got a bag full of household chemicals. They can afford to buy these items because in somehow or other way it has come in or resurrected a structure of values for itself, its values, brought them in intact or resurrected them. Somehow gone around the obstacle of capitalism, not for you, system. And that's a very good way to come in and around and be here. Here in the system as it's running out. It's paid out, now running out.
There's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind.
In this film, a black hustler beats up two white cops, screws a white chick, and gets away with it.
He was accused of raping her and penetrating her with a foreign object, and then a lot of quotes were attributed to him by Hearst, who, another interesting kind of sideline, basically invented the tabloids behind Fatty Arbuckle's scandal.
And you mentioned, and I know this must sound loathsome, I preferred the penalty for committing sin to the shame of admitting that I couldn't commit it. There, I said it. It's a kind of interesting...
It was a very bizarre dilemma the guy faced, because Hearst kept writing about his quote-unquote manly equipment, whereas his only defense would have been for his wife to get up in court and say, well, you know, his manly equipment is not particularly manly. But Fatty was so mortified by that that he literally was opting to go to the chair rather than admit that he couldn't do what he was in effect accused of doing.
So they blinded my thoughts in sheer rapture and stole my body right out of quantum.
Picking up slack for you, I might add.
Driving you mad. But it's there. splinter in your mind.
The things they could do because their times were mechanical. And in the name of progress and number beauty and good stage magic, that's how the great old fathers of science settled the Western world.
I don't remember either. Isn't that weird?
As the old-style imperialism of the new Hawks and the Bush administration made manifest through subtle manipulation and outright mendacity, the newly aggressive American empire would not only police the world in light of its interests, but also impose its imperial vision and policy by hook or by crook on a sleep-walking U.S. citizenry.
You're weird. Shut up and let me concentrate. Damn it.
You know, I was just thinking.
Stop thinking.
What's gotten into you?
What's gotten into me? You know who these are?
Chickless's kids, Arthur and Sunshine.
Orphans. They're orphans.
You told me Chickless was on vacation.
I have to go to the can. Try not to drool on the controls. Screws up the calibration.
You remember something. Before all of this.
Not much.
Come for you at night.
What?
They come for you at night.
Who does?
Try to do that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, my name is Matthew Bennell, B-E-N-N-E-L-L. I'm a deputy public health inspector.
Yeah, is this another call about imposters?
Yes.
We're the first agency you've called?
Yes.
That's good. Listen, Mr. Bennell, we don't want to create a panic.
And no one in my department knows.
Look, Mr. Bennell, I'm going to ask you to stay by your phone for a while. I'm going to have somebody call you back and take down everything you know.
All right, thank you.
They do.
When I first woke up, I don't think I would have known my own name if it wasn't stitched on my shirt.
I feel like we've been here for hours and I still can't remember anything.
We've got to get moving while we still have our strength.
This is a busy lab, Elizabeth. We're not supposed to test flowers. They go to the Department of Agriculture.
I know where they go. I think this is our problem. I think it is affecting people.
How?
You guys have a plan?
We keep moving in the same direction until we find the edge. This place has got to end eventually.
Blood on the ground, great big gobs of blood all around. Hey, 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 pity the cowboy, bloody and red. The old cowpony done stepped on his head.
I think the mind is in the feet as often as it's in the head. I entered the world feet first, each foot a fable, each foot winged in curious search for the perfect steps of narrative. I know that every human foot needs a set of steps to walk, but I don't know what size or combination. I don't know what the code is. To me, it's a mystery of dimension.
These dimensions are open for bidding. A 2-inch rise and a 15-inch tread to the blonde man. Will you go 3-14, sir? Yes. A 3-inch rise and a 14-inch tread to the dark-haired woman. A 12-inch rise and a 5-inch tread to the blonde man. A 4-inch rise and a 13-inch tread to the dark-haired woman. A 7-inch rise and a 10-inch tread. New bidder there. A 7-inch rise and a 10-inch tread going once, twice, perfect.
Look, Alan, I have already said that I'm going to do all of the testing. You don't have to lift a finger. Can I?
You've been consistently late, Elizabeth, and you're behind in your work. So I'll do the test for you.
Thank you.
It'll take 48 hours.
Alan, 24.
I can't understand why you've become so emotional about a little flower.
Hello?
Mr. Bunnell?
Yes.
You're with the health department.
Yes, that's right.
This is Ted Jessup, the mayor's special assistant.
Yes.
You've come across something strange in the last few days?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to suggest that we meet in Union Square. We can't talk over the phone.
Right away.
You gotta keep moving.
Wait! You gotta be careful climbing around here.
Why?
There are traps.
What about the traps?
We test the rooms. We have a system.
Safe! I'm going in!
Programmers and the people that give the nature of what's in the essence of what's there and what that's going to look like and how it's going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
And then gives you your own choice. Now, I think that we have to work a little bit harder in that latter category. Also, the two types of clients.
That's not a common experience in any field these days.
We're opening up some doors.
My medical doctor does the same thing, you know. It's like, well, you need to, or my dentist, you know, you need to floss and you need to brush this way, and you have no idea what isn't right or what's causing the problem or what it's about or what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Or there's my brother who's a dentist,
okay,
who would also tell you very specifically about why these things happen that way,
right.
and try to put it in lay language.
Unusual.
Yeah.
And we won't get into politics, but you do see that pattern in politics all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, you were going to talk
about
two types of clients.
Yeah, and there's the type of client that wants to be programmed. It comes in and, well, tell me what to do, you know, and then we have to work real hard. Now,
the other type of reader has no problem with that, you know. But then we do have a lot of people that will come to us and say, could, you know, please straighten this out, you know. And I'm not supposed to put that much energy into it myself. Mm-hmm. And then there is this is now the type of client that we have, and most of these are continual clients that see us on a, you know, on a regular basis. These are people who are interested. They come on a spiritual path. They've had some kind of a soul shaking. That's what I like to call it. Like something happened and they've realized that, no, life for them isn't really just about, you know, going to work, coming home, and, you know, watching TV and not thinking that there's really anything else going on except raising your kids and, you know, in business and things like that.
An instrumental pop group. Non-players will be considered if they are willing to be taught. The address is The Heatles, Box 72, Kuala Belait, Brunei, Borneo.
Syphilis, 12. Kindness, 15. Law, 20. Crime, 20. Population, 30. Love, 50. Forget overlay. Love never won yet, since platitude was an overnight scratch. If you can get 3 to 5 on cliche, put down everything you've got.
At 7:10, text.
In a classical pose, Amy Glennon contemplates a black rock staircase with steps perfect for her feet at a 7-inch rise and a 10-inch tread. It spirals up into the night sky and down into the core of the earth.
Fernando!
Hello?
Look at what you're doing! Will you?
Excuse me. Show don't stop till 2.
Fernando, I told you! Just copy off the damn poster! It's zombie with a C, not an S!
I'm Melvin Van Peebles. You're premiering my movie.
The box office ain't open yet.
You must be Mr. Goldberg, correct?
Yeah.
I'm Melvin Van Peebles. I'm the producer-director of Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. It's my son, Mario. Can we take a look at your theater?
Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right, Ethel. Tell Manny I want to see him and get rid of this crazy fucking Schwarzer, okay?
Yeah.
See ya.
That's him. Some wild movie.
You really stupid those girls? What movie? What fucking movie? Hey, you eat it, you pay for it. Right there, triple feature, Desert Killers, 40-foot woman, Sweetback's Badass Song.
Now, listen, don't shortchange yourself by playing it as a triple feature, man.
Head.
White people live in this neighborhood. We got first-run flicks.
Now we got a half-empty barn, screening second-run triple features. Because your people want a lot of movie for their buck.
Of course they do. But you're not giving them a lot of movie. You're giving them second-rate B-stuff that's got nothing to do with their lives.
Now, I saw the movie, and I don't think...
Manny, no offense, but you guys aren't the audience. Hey, son, excuse me for a second. What'd you get?
3,200 seats total. The balcony's been closed for years. 2,062 seats working. $1 a ticket, 3 shows a day.
Look, kid, even if we ran your movie alone, it's rated X. Reputable newspapers won't run X-rated ads. How's anyone going to know what's playing here?
Early to bed. Early to rise. Work like a dog and advertise. Sweetback soundtrack. Ad. T-shirt. Bam.
A record? We don't sell records.
That is a Sweetback soundtrack. I'm going to be all over the local radio station playing this soundtrack, wear that fucking t-shirt, and talk about the world premiere of Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song right here at Goldberg's Spectacular Grand Circus Theater.
It's still got to be a triple feature.
I'll make you a bet. I'll bet you a brand new suit that if you run Sweetback alone, the way it should be, you'll make more money in one day than you did all last week.
Chutzpah, this fucking kid. A suit, three pieces, our tailor.
Your tailor.
There's two of us.
And one of me. If I lose, I lose double.
Now you try. Now, this time, keep the tone of the whistle stable, and increase and then decrease the tone of the hum. Then bring it back down again. Now you try.
What was ultimately revealed was that the woman he was accused of raping, who had, of course, the Hearst papers had portrayed as a virginal young victim and a chaste young lady. At one point, they even decided she was descended from European royalty, had in fact been a prostitute since the age of 14 and had a series of abortions and had a botched abortion the day before.
So how?
And it's a double-edged thing. It was that Hollywood was morally bankrupt and corrupting America's youth, but also with the subtler level of anti-Semitism, because the fact was that Hollywood was run by Jews. These people didn't like Jews, and the way to attack them and put them out of business was to accuse Hollywood itself of somehow having a conspiracy to corrupt good Christian children. What made Fatty's case so ironic is that even as this was welling up, Fatty's movies were one of the few that were considered like okay and family friendly by the morality squad. So the level of betrayal when this happy-go-lucky, threat-free clown turned out to have been a complete degenerate perv made it even more troubling for these people.
Her bitterness gathers in back of her.
Do I hear in front of her? Yes, I do. In front and the back, behind, right there, and back and the back to the side and the center, and back and the front and the back, and front and front. Down it goes. In front. Text.
So then you'll meet me here again tomorrow, right, Mr. Bennell?
Yeah.
Now, don't say a word to anyone. Keep it quiet.
Want to know what it is?
Which are the crinkled skin of the earth, sculpture is a mixture of the human figure and landscape. Knees and breasts are mountains. Once these two parts become separated, you don't expect it to be a naturalistic figure. Therefore, you can justifiably make it like a landscape or a rock. It is this mixture of figure and landscape. It's what I try in my sculpture. It is a metaphor of the human relationship with the earth, with mountains and landscape. Like in poetry, you can say that the mountains skip like rams. The sculpture itself is a metaphor, like the poem.
Western Hemisphere, the Vilcabamba Indians in Ecuador, very famous. They live in the Andes. And then in southeastern Peru, my favorites, the Titicacas, I just like them because I like the name. They're sort of east of the Machu Picchu, the old community. The Titicacas live around Lake Titicaca. And, of course, they're very famous for living to be 120 to 140.
Psycho Babbler. I said Psycho Babbler.
Psychobabble, pristine green parabola, incidental stencil spectacular. Even Count Crackula can't get with this psychobabble. Fluffy tissues are the issues when I misuse medulla blues. Psychobabble, I can't refuse. Just hear and fear, steer me wrong, wrong me steer. Psychobabble, black is black when I hear moaning tears packed in sidewalk cracks. Growing on trees are Philly blunts and 40-ounce malt liquor dry humps. Mary Jane leaves me in psychobabble.
Chano Pozo, Foye, I say, did you hear Impediba smoking in the palm of his hands? Did you hear Iya Ilu booming through the cup of his glass? Did you hear Intenga standing on the rim of his rest? Did you hear Siki Okowa stuttering like a goat-sucking hawk? Did you hear Bata crying in a Nago tongue? Did you hear Bantam Brahm speaking through the skull of a dog? Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Oh,
here, KLST, and we're here in the studio with Mr. Melvin Van Peebles, the soul brother of Cinema. We're taking calls from Mr. Van Peebles. KLST, rap on.
Mr. Van Peebles, are you going to be in the theater in person tonight?
That depends, girl. You on the pill?
KLST, rap on, brother.
Hey, I seen your comedy Watermelon Man with Guy Cambridge, man. Does Sweetback have any stars in it?
Yeah, you... Me, the black community, we the star, brother.
Oh, shit. I look out my window and see that for free.
Not on the big screen, brother. Sweetback opens tomorrow at the Grand Circus. Where else?
Right here in Detroit, Grand Circus Theater. World premiere.
Sammy Hagar going on right now. I'm Bob Coburn. You're listening to Rockline. Our number's toll free for you, 1-800-344-ROCK. We'll start with a call from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Rob, you're on Rockline.
Hi, how you doing, Sammy?
Rob, I'm doing real good.
Hey, this tour with Skinner, have you ever toured with him before?
No, I haven't. In Montrose, we did a couple shows with Skinner back in the old days, and you know, I never really got to meet the guys or anything. I just kind of, I think I've run into one or two people in my life, but always been a fan. And I think, you know, Skinner is really the premier American rock band. I mean, you know, they just really, they stand up. It's pure American music. I love it.
Move to our next call. Talking about commercials, one of my favorites is Dear Friends, the Firesign Theater. Isn't this really from your old radio show, a lot of the stuff on this CD?
What's that?
The Dear Friends, the Firesign Theater. Is that stuff from your old radio show?
Oh, yeah. Dear Friends.
Dear Friends, yes. Dear Friends was a
12 hours of material.
Yeah, yeah. We were on the air for a long time.
Funny, funny, funny commercials. We're going to play some of it.
Operator, no, I put in a quarter.
This is Judy Hinkle, the mayor's special assistant.
Yes, my name is Matthew Bunnell.
The mayor's in conference right now, but he wants you to know that Dr. Kipner called him personally to express his concern as well. And Mr. Bunnell, we're asking for your discretion from now on because this whole thing might be abating.
Hello.
Matthew Bunnell.
Yes.
I'm Michaels. I'm with the Federal Preparedness Agency.
Yes.
Now, these reports of strange, unexplained diseased bodies, my understanding is that you haven't actually analyzed anything, and you have no tissue samples.
No.
Mr. Bunnell, it does seem you're just winging your conclusion. Please keep an open mind.
I had no intention at all of...
Don't mention to anyone about duplicate bodies, for God's sakes.
I was going to treat it just...
Excuse me. My other phone is ringing.
Yes.
This is serious business, Mr. Bunnell.
Hello?
Is this just a case of paranoia, Mr. Bunnell?
No.
Hi, well, you know what I've done all right. Looks like,
you
Mr. Bunnell?
Have you seen anything?
We don't want to create a panic.
No, we have the primary authority in this matter.
Be extremely cautious.
A complex problem.
Right? I think Christ is right.
Our people are returning to normal.
No. She all right. She better now. Much better now.
Did your husband ask you to come here?
No. I want everybody to see that I'm back to myself again.
No, wait, please. I'll see you soon, I hope.
Oh, yeah, we practically started the electric church. We had bought Soaky Bubble Bath, of all things. And we saw these little heads on the bubble bath, and I started talking for them, you know, making little voices. Hello there. Those kind of little voices. And Jim said, Tammy, we could make puppets out of these things, and we could use them in church for the kids. We took the Soaky Bubble Bath, it was Porky Pig, we melted the ears down, and made a little girl piggy. She had to have a friend, so we made an alligator that talked like this. Hello, I'm Ellie the Alligator.
And I'm Susie Muppet.
I worked them with my hands like this. This was their little hands, and this was their head.
Jesus takes the crown, and he turns it upside down.
Got a call from Pat Robertson. He wanted to meet with us, and he said, would you consider joining the network? Well, the network was one station, a 1 kilowatt television station. It hardly went down the block at times.
It's time for the nation's biggest yard party, the Jim and Tammy Show.
Hi, everybody.
We did not have a script, so everything was really ad-lib.
I think Jim actually was a little nervous around the puppets because he never really knew what they were going to say.
Jim, you just ate my shrimp up.
I was standing here talking.
Jim!
Susie was the bad Tammy Faye, and Allie was always somehow, she had a split personality because Allie was always nice to me, but Susie Muppet was always arguing with me. And I mean, if those people at home, I don't know, if they knew what we were having legitimate fights, only we're doing it through these puppets, but for some reason, the show became the number one program on CBN.
I'm gonna love my enemy. You're good to those.
I mean, what did Jim Henson have but Jim and Tammy gone berserk?
And some of them really have some kind of a picture of what that path is because they've been vibrating with it, you know, for a little while. And then some people are just waking up. But you have to have what I call a soul quaking or a soul shaking kind of experience. And that can be a brilliant light, you know, in a positive way. I found also that there's a lot of people that get into something, some kind of an event or a happening, such as a death in the family,
right,
or a breakup with a long-time loved one, or just some kind of internal mechanism that just shifts, whatever, you know, and all of a sudden it's a kind of a dark thing, and they're trying to deal with the darkness. So either way, you come in with this, oh, wow, I really want to connect with God, okay? Or I really want to find out what this crap is about that I'm into. So that...
Infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space. Yet across an immense ethereal gulf, minds that are to our minds, ours as the beasts in the jungle, intellect, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
So the vice president's distancing himself.
Lots of Democrats, sir.
But things went well with the speaker.
We knew the tech lobby was leaning on India.
Lots of lobbies lean on lots of people.
You sent me to that room knowing it might cost the CWA jobs.
I sent you into that room to close a deal. No one put you in charge of economic policy.
You didn't tell me because I never would have made the deal.
When the president wants a deal, it's your job to close it. We don't sign waivers around here.
We made a promise.
Her bitterness gathers in front of her as Amy descends the staircase into it and is swallowed alive in its thick, dark chill.
Me and the president. That's how we got the CWA. The first union to endorse us in the first campaign.
She just needs something to help us sleep. Tomorrow should be good as new. She just needs something to help us sleep. Tomorrow should be...
She realizes for the first time that the...
Of course, the very first time is probably been peeled, underswept, and packed, connected with, and echoed down the canyons. Not really new at all. And here. In metaphysics,
fruitcakes, as far as pickup artists and so forth. I tried all kinds of different things. And again, some of it worked, some of it didn't. It was a little frustrating. But after a long time, see, I'm kind of one of these people that learns slow. I can watch something happen.
Metaphysics.com.
I can't quite figure out what's going on, but I'll stick with it.
Carry it, New Metaphysics,
really
for the
and then once
electronic
I've got it, then I really understand
email.
It. Okay? And so it took me a long time to finally
coming
get it.
It.
And I went out there and I kept trying
to
things. And there are a couple of guys
tossed
in here you're going to meet that
you.
Were very pivotal. Like, I would be doing something, they'd be out with me, and we'd be talking.
Which is how we got the AFL-CIO, how we won Iowa, South Dakota. That was my job, too. You think we'd be here without it?
Campaign and poetry to government pros.
We promised that union we would protect their jobs. We
opposite of bitterness must be water.
Asuwa Regina.
And did they know about his addiction to heroin?
Said it right to Parson's face.
He said we try to look out for them.
I'm not parsing words. That's not what we meant. We have to strip out the copyright provisions.
Well, give them transition assistance.
They call it burial insurance.
I would suggest you get some sleep, too. You've done everything you possibly can.
The talking points, the case for sweatshop labor. Send your 9-year-old to a sneaker factory. Let's just call this whole trade deal to hell with everything.
I sent you in there to close the deal, and you did. Thank you. There are trade-offs. Lose 17,000 here, gain 30,000 there.
They're human beings. You're talking in abstraction.
As opposed to what? Meeting every factory worker in America, reviewing every line of computer code, and giving little check marks? We run a country. We deal in abstractions.
That's easy for you to say. You're not the one who just screwed 3.3 million people.
Neither are you. It's the president's agenda.
And it was the president's promise, which you can't break, I can't break, and I am taking this to him if I have to park a tractor on the South Lawn to do it.
Hot.
Of course not, no.
Because heroin was was legal at the time, and a doctor prescribed it, so I was wondering.
It was legal, but it was also a big Hollywood secret. In fact, the first matinee idol of the day, a guy named Wallace Reed, was the guy who always played the upstanding, good guy, male lead, gorgeous, handsome, brave, in fact, died of heroin withdrawal and was an addict the entire time. And Paramount itself had been supplying him heroin to keep him going.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us, even now in this very room.
Aqua Regia, Aqua Regia, Aqua Regia.
I mean, it's got to be something funny, because they want something funny.
You sure you know what you're getting to with this old independent stuff?
Average hustler turns revolutionary.
Another comedy?
Serious as cancer.
Who's gonna want to see that?
Well,
they'll show.
They better. It's 15 minutes till a 7 o'clock show. If your Soul Brothers don't show by then, we have to cut our losses and switch to the other movies while we still can.
You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television.
Change of marquees. Switch to zombies and 40-foot woman. Wrap it up.
You can feel it when you go to work.
Oh, the great old fathers of science and me, we were so in love. We took baths together, we swam in the seas and rivers, we drank water, we froze in heated and vaporized water. Together we were making a story from reanimated morning dew and spring rain. The story was an elixir, a legend, a rhapsody, a song that the great fathers gave me initiation to sing, and we rehearsed the number again and again, cleansing and rinsing its air-colored content. I perfected the melody with such a slow fix of glamour that the story became a string of pearls around my neck and long beaded gloves and clothes of marble dust, and I became the brightest star in the great white way.
Mill had to give him a lecture on how he had to keep from doing drugs when in fact the studios would slip him morphine to keep the movies going.
For Sweetback.
Oh, I'm sorry, we're not playing that one anymore. I can give you tickets to 40 Foot Woman and Killer Zombie.
Well, the marquee says Sweetback.
You got a problem?
I sure hope not, because we drove a long ass way to see Sweetback.
Customer's always right, Ethel.
Manny, we got a problem. There was this guy. He was in here before, acting suspicious. Gang members. More of them keep gathering. They're up to something. I know it.
Black Panthers. What do they want? Get over.
No. We don't give refunds. That's our policy.
Give them a refund, Ethel.
No, lady. I want to buy some tickets.
Yes, sir. How many?
22. 23. Make it 23.
Eat a small African village with that thing.
Getting more, sir. It'll be just 1 minute.
We're sold out.
Like hell we are. We'll open the balcony.
We're out of popcorn and there's no hot dogs left.
I'll take over the stand. You go down to the Greek Theater, buy whatever they got. Fernando can help you carry it. Don't slop up my caddy.
Hot dogs, too? Don't they have to be kosher?
We're not eating them, schmuck. We're just selling them. Now go!
I told you, man, that's too bad. I told you this was bad, man.
Shut up, man, shut up.
He's got to get to the border. We got to stop him.
You shoot him?
No.
Run, motherfucker, run.
He's getting away. He's getting away. We got to get him before he gets to the border.
The man knows everything, Sweetback.
Then he ought to know I'm tired of him fucking with me.
Sweet Sweetback's badass song became the top-grossing independent hit of 1971. Folks started calling me Mel Baby again. Cinemation got out of bankruptcy. Bill Cosby got paid back. Earth, Wind & Fire blew up. And oh yeah, those Goldberg twins, they made me that suit.
because it's like either way, when you have that soul shaking or soul quaking experience, what you want to do is go with that and then follow it. And I don't know, you know, my sister-in-law, you know, they're all born again Christians and stuff like that. Well, I asked her, you know, well, how did this happen with you? You know, because this is a family that is the very conservative Christian thing that's been going on for a long time in her family. She said, well, you know, when I was 7 years old, I became aware that I was sinful. And that I felt really guilty and that I needed to be saved. I needed to have Jesus in my heart. Yeah, I just became aware of that because I knew, you know, that I was wrong, I was sinful, and that I did things that weren't, you know. And so
when you go to church, when you pay your taxes, it is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
In the Great White Way, I was so in love. I didn't even notice that the fathers were changing the words to the story in such a way that I would drown in the watery draws of all the great themes we had nurtured together. My voice was heard everywhere, and my practices as a radio star grew, embracing the cylinder and diamond disc, round-headed sapphire needles, records pressed in amber and black wax, floral horns and fiddle phones. Distance always lends enchantment.
We live in a story.
Sensors. Maybe they're triggered by heat or sound or something.
Why don't you just admit it? We're dead.
Get some sleep.
Sure. Yeah.
He can't admit it. It's the training. The army never admits defeat.
With me, lady?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't trust you.
Oh, how the hell did we miss this?
What is it?
CIA. What is that? A clue as to who built this place?
I think that's just a coincidence. Try the other doors.
YYO.
UDS.
S-A-N. What do they mean?
I really think it's a mistake to think of these letters as meaning something. It's like some kind of code or puzzle we have to figure out.
A puzzle? They're playing with us.
We should make a map.
Using what? Our blood?
I don't know. Maybe. You got a better idea?
I have a better idea. They did us the favor of polishing our boots. Okay, we'll flag the safe rooms. CIA. Give me the others.
YYO, UDS, and SAN.
Good memory.
Yeah, in the short term. Now I wish I could remember what happened to me between birth and about 3 hours ago.
Right.
I don't know.
shoe polish and a hairpin. Nothing in this place is random.
Maybe the bastards just underestimated us.
Industries have been aware of the situation, even though it's not something they tell to the average citizen.
Editor, and I usually edit all my films or other people's films. You have an occupational disease. You're able to separate yourself from what's going on. When I saw the movie, I was just, it wasn't even me. It was only afterwards. So otherwise you couldn't judge it if you keep putting yourself. But afterwards, after I'd seen the movie, I realized that it was me. You know, people said, did it bring back memories? Well, when you look down the barrel of a gun, you don't get memories back because you never forget it. It was yesterday. I still wake up sometime after all these years and, oh, shit, she put the gun in with the real gun. That was real, you know. She put the gun in the prop box. That actually happened. So it's still very present with me, the whole experience.
Shadows. Sometimes people don't see shadows. The Chinese, of course, never paint them in pictures. Oriental art never deals with shadows. But I noticed these shadows, and I knew it meant it was sunny.
So was it the sun or the effect of the sun? It could be different things which really drew you to California.
Well, it's the effect of the sun, actually. But it was light. What I didn't know at the time, another thing, I didn't know this. I also said it was sexy. It was, actually, meaning in a hotter place, we got less clothes and so on. Don't need an overcoat in LA. What I didn't know was I was deeply attracted to the big space. I'm a bit claustrophobic. I know that now. Whereas New York is claustrophobic, LA is big, wide, one story. The reason LA is very brightly lit at night, if you've ever been there and looked down on it, there's just one simple reason it's like that.
Like the others.
The street lights are twice as high as the buildings, which they're not in London. So if on Hampstead Heath you look down on London, you don't see the street lights. But if you look down on LA from Mulholland Drive or a plane, you do.
So you like the light?
It's a simple thing.
Yeah. You like the light, you like the space, you like the social environment. So did it all add up to personal and visual freedom?
Well, I felt freer. I mean, remember, I'm 24. I felt freer. I felt England was a bit stifling, boring. It wasn't there. Very free.
The need or the wish to have a degree of sexual freedom, was that as important as the artistic
side? Well, probably. I mean, I'm saying that now. I'm sure it was, actually. But I was attracted visually to it instantly.
Peter's journey goes about him with the reality of his life. He says, I had to do a lot of interviews, but they weren't really interviews. They were performances. saying a lot of things I didn't know I'd said until I picked up a movie magazine.
Symbols are nonsense. Everything is surface. Earth, fire, and the rest. All is determined, equated, and known.
But look at the prairie, the mountains, and canyons. Earth took 4 billion years to make some dirt. And gravity.
But mechanical, she is a finite American girl.
What is the matter with me? I am finite.
You have no beginning or middle or end.
My heart is finite and strange.
Because the fathers need the heat of passion to split the mind from the body. There's no other way.
And unsolved, and that great art is not perfect.
Well, yes, I think nothing can be absolutely solved. I think if you know the answer if it was a simple answer, it wouldn't be a very complex affair. I mean, nobody, I don't know a really great or good work of art that hasn't got mystery. Some mystery in it that doesn't explain. I mean, it doesn't do an ABC if they mm-hmm. or an arithmetical addition of sum out of no, it has to be like life, and life isn't explainable entirely.
Jim and Tammy had agreed to work for Pat Robertson on condition that they could also start a late night talk show.
He said, "I'll make a deal with you. If you get the kids show up and running, then you can do this late night show."
And so Pat honored his word on that, and Jim started what was called the 700 Club, the first Christian talk show in history.
Really, I guess you're asking, what was my film education? I had none.
Let me handle the Huns, boasts jokester Arbuckle. I'll find the Kaiser and sit on his head. Or they'd say, whatever success I've had, I credit to my mother's love and my father's guidance. That's from an article called Fatty Talks to Young People.
Well, I used to be a gripman. In San Francisco, I used to drive cable cars. And I had an idea about writing an article, and that article grew into a book, and that book about the life and the day of a cable car driver. And I were in photos in it, and I put photos in this little book. It was sort of a photo essay. And I was selling it, and the book got rather popular. And a guy got on my cable car one day, and he said, you know, this is a nice book. It's almost like a movie. I said, shit, I want the movies. So that's how I went into movies.
Things should be. I mean, things shouldn't explain themselves straight away. It's just like a person.
So here's your host on the 700 Club.
Hello and welcome to the 700 Club today. I'm so very, very happy that you could join us for this program of...
The real Fatty Arbuckle had a horrible family life and he hated his parents.
You flesh into a soul that they peel away. Science can steal your jaw, but your bleach takes color. Because the fathers need the heat of passion to split the mind from the body, there's no other way. I call it piracy. They call it the one divided. They call it fission. They call it the passion of their genius. But genius isn't separation. It isn't the one divided. The fathers have misunderstood the whole idea. It's really coagulation, coalescence, the many in one, when sometimes your whole body wanders in a single particle of your mind, and other times your mind moves fast like waves through your body. Genius is forethought. It's the second thought. It's a kind of inspiration. It's an ancient air that everyone has forgotten how to do.
Be brave enough to be a genius. Look ahead, see far beyond your own time.
Well, what happened was I called a guy who I heard had a camera. I said, hey, I want to make a movie. And the guy said, oh, that's great. You have a documentary about what? I said, no, I wanted to have stories. He said, well, okay. I said, well, how long is a movie? And he says, well, I've been going to triple features and everything. Well, he said, it's 90 minutes, hour and a half, maybe 5 or 10 minutes longer. And he says, do you want to shoot in 16 or 35? I said, what's that?
Did you actually find the articles that had these quotes?
Yeah, there's a ton of articles like that. And the really grotesque thing about it is Fatty's father, who used to beat him mercilessly, routinely, hated him on sight, blamed him for destroying his mother's womanhood and ultimately killing her. Fatty had always to describe him in articles as a, quote, gentleman farmer. And it just was the beginning of that kind of double life that went all the way, you know, continued to Rock Hudson, where the real acting job on the part of the actors was trying to play the part of a real-life person that the studios were trying to pretend they were.
Let me say, when you say that his father accused Fatty Arbuckle of destroying his mother's womanhood, you mean during the childbirth process that Fatty was so large tore up his mother during the delivery? That was
He was a 16-pound baby,
mm-hmm.
And mom was never the same, needless to say.
As soon as you see somebody say, oh, I know all about him, he should surprise you a bit in some way.
Well, in May 11th, just about a month ago, the oldest living American at this time and documented through the Guinness World Book of Records was Margaret Steep. She was from Radford, Virginia. She died at age 115.
Prayer and praise.
The instant success of the 700 Club and the Jim and Tammy Show helped turn the Christian Broadcast Network from a local station into a full-fledged network.
Pat began to want to take over some of the 700 Club, which was fine because it was his station and we honored him for that. And so we just said, Pat, you're able to do it by yourself now. You don't need us. And so we decided to move on and do our own thing.
The 700 Club today is probably the most powerful of the religious broadcasts.
This is the 700 Club.
And Jim was the first host on the 700 Club before Pat Robertson was.
Jim and Tammy then moved west to California, and in the kitchen of their rented home with their friends Jan and Paul Crouch, they launched a new venture, the Trinity Broadcast Network.
Jim was the host, and I was the co-host, and Jan and Paul were in the background.
but not for long. Jim and Tammy were forced out in a boardroom coup by Jan and Paul Crouch. Today, the Crouches still preside over the ministry Jim and Tammy started with them, which has since become one of the world's largest TV ministries.
Jim and Tammy started almost everything that is now powerful in religious telecasting. But as soon as they got it built, like at TBN, as soon as they got people watching, as soon as they got the audience captivated, as soon as they began to get power, they were kind of let go.
He said, oh, 16 to 35 millimeter. I said, oh, okay. What's that? That was the level that I was at. I didn't even know what millimeter meant.
Level conclusion that the conscious mind has made allows the rest of the session to proceed at a normal pace.
And so a guy said, I have a 16 millimeter camera, and you think about it. He says, 35 is more professional, but 16 can do it, and it's a little cheaper. So then I ask him how much, and I made a calculation. This was 1957. That you could make a feature film by my calculations for $500. So, hey, so I go, what I now learn is called pre-production and location scouting. I just use what you call common sense. Well, I got to shoot somebody where we're going to shoot, and I found the places, and I got to see the people out there, and I said, okay, and I'd seen the movies, and I said, action, and the guy says, A guy comes out with a clapboard. He said, well, what are you doing? He said, well, you got to keep the scenes in line so we'll know what take it is. What take? And then after the first day shooting, the guy says to me, he says, well, now you got to send it to the lab and get it developed. Oh, shit. I forgot that.
And without that contamination of that conclusion, remember that we want to collect the data as innocently as possible with almost no analysis or interpretation during the process.
Even now, in this very room, it is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
I forgot developing. Oh, I didn't know. I mean, I just, in my enthusiasm, I'd forgotten what the $500 was the cost of 90 minutes of 16 millimeter film. Real. I mean, I didn't know all these other things. So my first feature turned out to be 11 minutes long.
Let me give an example of a deduction that could be partially correct. If the target is the destruction of, say, the Hindenburg blimp, well, it follows that a kite, a balloon, fireworks, or perhaps even the Challenger space shuttle explosion could all be deductions.
And when I first showed it on the wall to myself, I said, well, the story's in there. The guy said, we haven't edited yet. I said, what's that? And a guy gave me a book called Film Form and Sense by Eisenstein. And he gave me some nail polish and showed me how to cut this stuff. And that was my formal film education.
The idea of a kite captures the notion that the Hindenburg flew. The balloon reflects the structure of the blimp. Fireworks reflect the explosion that resulted in the destruction of the Hindenburg, and the Challenger space shuttle explosion identifies the idea that an airborne vehicle carrying passengers exploded, causing loss of life. Do not worry about the inaccuracies that are inherent in deductions. Remember, deductions are not remote viewing data. They are guesses made by the conscious mind, and they are nothing more than that.
I guess all the rest is just right fighting right, left fighting right, left fighting left, left fighting right, right, left, everybody fighting. I was looking through some transcripts. You know, James Pinkerton was on Fox, as he is with...
That. However, deductions can be very useful when analyzing the data after the session is over. Deductions do sometimes convey important meaning about a target that is difficult to express in other words. For example, someone could be remote viewing a slave labor camp, say, during the time of the pharaohs, and they could give Auschwitz as a deduction. Now, such a deduction has many parallels with the actual target. Jews were the subject of slavery, repression, misery, and death in both settings. But, more important, the analyst may be alerted to the magnitude of the misery that was experienced in Egyptian slave labor camps through the deduction of Auschwitz. This could be useful in interpreting the remainder of the session should the viewer describe extreme levels of suffering among the actual target subjects.